Zach, you're not usually this hungry. Zach, stop. You're going to eat the microphone.
Delicious microphone.
No, stop eating the microphone.
Vitamins and minerals.
Zach, stop it. We don't have enough money to replace that. No. No. Stop. Put it down. Put it down. John Zachary!
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I know an appropriate amount about Doctor Who.
Do you, Cassie? Are you sure about that?
I think so.
Because there's still a lot, there's still a few doctors you haven't even seen yet.
Like who?
You haven't seen the First Doctor or the Eighth Doctor.
I've always seen the First Doctor.
Or like 12 through 15, you haven't seen any of them.
Yeah, an appropriate amount. I said what I said.
Well, today we are going to expand your knowledge a little bit more as we go back to meet the Fifth Doctor.
Hooray!
Cricket McCellery pants. Cricket McCellery shirt.
Thank you.
It should be celery shirt. Cricket McCellery shirt is the name of this doctor.
Is that one that I came up with, or are you coming up with names for me now?
I'm coming up with names for you now.
Thank you.
I mean, it's the same tone as Scarfy McBig Hat, so I don't think it's...
Well, yeah, but Cricket McCellery pants is... Like, Cricket is a genuine name that I love and adore.
You know, he is dressed in a cricket outfit. That's why he's called that.
Well, yeah, but now you're conjuring images of, like, the Guillermo del Toro, Ewan McGregor cricket wearing a little cricket outfit.
Or a cricket green as the doctor.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? I mean, I think more appropriately, Tilly would be the doctor, and then Cricket would be her companion.
I think Cricket's the doctor, but then the entire family are his companions.
I really feel like if anybody's going to be...
Chip Whistler is the master.
Oh, my
Or Chip
goodness.
Whistler the Daleks. No, I think he's the master. I think it's way more funny if he's the master.
I think just based off of, like, Dr. Adversaries, Chip Whistler makes way more sense as the master.
Mm-hmm.
Hi. These comments are for... I think maybe
the three people that watch both Doctor Who and Big City Greens.
If that. I'm so sorry for alienating people.
The three
so
people,
early
two of
on.
Which are on this couch. We just have to hope the third one is listening to the podcast.
Yeah, they decide to tune in on this one. A classic episode.
But today we are watching season 19, serial number 6, Earthshock.
Earthshock.
Yeah, this is a lot of people's favorite Fifth Doctor story. It's between this and his last story. A lot of people really love these two stories for the Fifth Doctor, but Peter Davison has been on record as saying this was his favorite story to do.
Okay.
And I thought for some other reasons it's also appropriate for us to watch based on where we are in the modern series. There are some echoes going on there. This episode features the Fifth Doctor along with three companions this time. This is the Boy Genius and the Space Lesbians. This is
I'm really mad that you didn't say Canine, but Boy Genius and the Space Lesbians.
That's a great band name.
Yeah, it is.
His companions of this are a boy named Adric, who is, I believe, meant to be a teenager, who is
played by a 30-year-old man.
I don't think he is. I think he is played by an actor in his like early 20s.
Okay.
Like he looks younger. He just isn't like I just want you to think he's running around with like a 6-year-old genius. It's like he is a teenager.
Which, like, I would really enjoy that if the doctor's companion was a full on child. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, this companion is a boy named Adric, I believe all three of these companions were originally picked up by the Fourth Doctor. This is the Fifth Doctor's first season, and I believe all the companions carried over from the last one. His other companions are Tegan, who is an Australian woman.
Cool.
I believe she was an Australian. Hang on, I want to make sure I get it right. I think she was an Australian.
And then her girlfriend, Sarah.
Those are sisters. Tegan and Sarah are sisters.
Could have fooled me.
They are lesbians, though, so you are on the right track.
Could have fooled me.
Tegan Javanka was her name, and she is an Australian woman who was
actually Australian?
Yes. Janet Fielding, the actress that plays Tegan, is actually from Brisbane, Australia. So they did get it right. They did actually hire someone Australian to play an Australian. It's not like later on where they hired a person that could just do an okay American accent to play an American.
Yeah.
And then the other girl in this episode is a girl named Nyssa, who is from an alien race of people called the Trachonites.
Trachonites?
But they otherwise look like humans, and she is the last of her kind.
Of course she is.
And I think you're going to love her outfit.
Uh-oh. I mean, so what is the year that this is coming out in?
So this came out in March of 1982.
Okay.
So it was probably filming maybe late 1981, but still, that's not going to make a impact on...
It's not... rot in the 70s. We are now in the 80s.
Yeah, now we're in the 80s. This was a new doctor, so a lot of the show was going in a different direction after having Tom Baker for 7 years. Like, we've been watching seven seasons of Doctor Who. Imagine for a moment if one guy had been the doctor the entire time.
What a doctor to stay on for 7 years, though.
Yeah, a lot of people feel like Tom Baker is the doctor, partly because he's got such an iconic outfit, but also because he held this role for so long.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I stand by my statement. He is my favorite so far.
Yeah, you like the two Bakers, Tom and Colin.
I liked two.
Yeah, two is also very fun. I think two is probably my favorite classic doctor. He's very like flappy hands.
I know how much you like flappy hands.
I do like flappy hands. Anyway, I don't want to belabor it too long. But like I said, Earthshock is one that's I think really important for the show because it's a very unique episode. There's not many like
what,
it.
What modern episode would you equate this one to?
I don't know. It's really hard to say because it is so different. So I guess in some ways it fits along with the season we have watched so far, because it feels very different from other episodes. Why don't instead we watch it and you could tell me if it gives you any vibes?
Uh-oh. Okay.
Because I don't want to spoil too much of what happens in it for you. I'd rather play it out a little bit. But I can spoil a tiny bit of things because we have to as part of the Cassie Professy.
Which also, just an update for anybody who might be keeping track at home, if they are or if they're not. 190 questions. I've gotten 120 correct.
Got it. That's pretty nice. That is pretty good. I know there were some times where I gave you multiple points for a question.
120 and 190. We're back at my favorite. We are at nice round numbers.
Well, let's ruin that together then.
Fuck right off.
As you know, Cybermen are made when a person gets turned into a robot.
Yeah.
But this era of Cybermen still has one aspect of their human body visible.
It's their dicks.
Just it's full Cybermen, but they just got swinging dicks. Just
there's
hanging out.
Gotta be a porno version.
I mean, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is some.
Ew, or they're. Okay, this is a genuine answer. Their hands, maybe.
Okay. Like you think there's like from
robot the, body, human hands
from the wrists up. The hands are the only thing left.
Like hands dog. Yeah.
OK, that could be an interesting choice. Is that your final answer?
Was that the question?
What part of their human body can you see while they are otherwise Cybermen?
The only other thing I could think of, and it's because of the era that we're in, is very RoboCop. So if you can see like the bottom half of their face.
OK,
so like their jaw.
OK,
but then everything else is covered.
Interesting.
I like the idea a lot more of hands, mm-hmm. or if they just have full on fleshy human peats. Their dogs are out.
Fofui.
Yeah. But what?
Defeat.
Because having their dicks or their butt cheeks out is so funny.
Because I also really like knowing that, because what you're about to see is probably the most common design for Cybermen in the classic era, because you've seen two very different designs so far. You've seen the modern series' original designs, where they're like these big, clunky, like suits almost that like march down the way. And then you've seen not the original Cybermen, but you've seen black and white Cybermen with their "You will be like us."
I can.
And their big hats.
I can't get over the little Cyberbug though.
Cybermats.
Oh my god! With its big dorky little glasses.
They're as dead as a stone. No Cybermats this time though. We get Cybermen and we get a Cyber leader.
Okay, can I ask you this? Mm-hmm. Have I said the correct answer?
Yes.
Okay. So then that means I can stop positing new ones. I don't think it's tits or ass.
That's because you didn't say those things, so it couldn't be that.
Dicks, tits, or ass. Because
no erogenous zones visible.
Comically, that would be so funny.
Just every time a Cyberman walks by, there's just a pixelated belt.
Every time a Cyberman walks by, you just hear the squeaking of its shiny cheeks. So I know it's not that. Okay, so it has to be, I think it, feet would be strange, so I think it has to be hands or jaw.
Okay.
Because I could see it being something, too, where they've just, like, painted hand. They, like, the hands are technically visible, but.
They're painted silver.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Is it intentionally still fleshy?
I don't know. Okay. I really don't know if it was intended to be designed this way or if it's visible now, because I've only ever seen it on higher quality televisions. I've never watched this episode on, like, in its original format on a smaller TV.
So I'm going to say hands then. I don't think that if that's the case, mm-hmm. and if you can't say that you know or not know, mm-hmm. I think then it has to be hands and that they're painted.
Okay, so you think they're painted hands?
I think, well, at the end of the day, I think it's hands. Just because at least up until this point, it's been very iconic for the Cybermen to have full on face masks, yeah. because it does take away their humanness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But I could also see them being like, oh, well, if they're having to be extra dexterous for some reason, mm-hmm. just being like, we won't give them gloves. Just nobody. Right, nobody will record this and save it for later.
Some cyber hands.
Yeah. So
some
handsy so cybermen. Their digits are out.
them digits be out. Well, they are robots, so they gotta have them out. That way they can count.
They can count. They can eat sushi. they can finger their ladies.
They can point with two fingers like they're at Disneyland.
Yeah, you know, the appropriate polite way.
Go that way to be converted.
Yep.
And then, as I have mentioned, one of the Doctor's companions in this episode is a boy genius named Adric. And one of the ways you know he's a boy genius is he carries around a little golden badge that he got from school for excellence in maths.
Okay.
What shape do you think his gold badge is, Cassie?
Oh, interesting. I'm going to say it's a little gold star.
You think it's a little gold star?
Yeah.
All right.
So. I think it's cute. It's more of a, I'm going to be mad if it's not a little gold star.
If it's like a little gold plus sign, you're going to be like, God damn it.
It's just kind of stupid. Or like a golden brain. It's like, that's not a cute silhouette.
Behold my golden brain.
Yeah, like that's a little too comical. But like a little gold star that says you're awesome in maths.
Okay.
I mean, I guess a plus sign could work, but. Mm-hmm. I like star. I want it to be a star.
All right.
So I'm going to go with star.
Well, we will find out together if the Cybermen have little grabby hands, little silver grabby hands. Well, silver is irrelevant. It's just their hands.
Yeah.
If they have little fleshy hands. If
Adric
rocks around with a little gold star to put up on the fridge, and we will find out together as we watch Earth Shock.
See, because I want a little gold star that says I'm the best in
podcasting.
Podcast I'm not the best at being myself, Zach.
Best at Cassie-ing.
I need to get some more hobbies.
This episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by WeUndies, the only underwear designed to bring you and your partner closer than ever. And I don't mean that metaphorically, I mean that, like, physically. WeUndies are one pair of underwear for two people at the same time. Not spending enough quality time with your partner? Tired of drifting apart? Of not feeling their butt against your butt at all times? With WeUndies, you and your partner will be lovingly crammed into one ultra-stretchy dual waistband masterpiece that says, "We've shared passwords, and now we share boxers." Whether you're doing yoga, making breakfast, or simply arguing about whether to get a dog, WeUndies make sure you're always in sync, in your hearts, and in your butts. Made from sustainably sourced fabric and emotionally sourced tension, each pair comes with adjustable leg holes, a relationship-lengthening zipper, and just enough elasticity to test your limits. WeUndies are now available in both butt-to-butt and front-to-front options. You can decide if you prefer dancing cheek-to-cheek or participating in prolonged eye contact. WeUndies, because true love knows no boundaries. Even when it probably should. And we are back from Earthshock.
Well, I'm not Earth, but I'm certainly shocked.
More like Earth shook. Yeah, so you remember a couple episodes ago when Brian asked the doctor what happened to all of his companions and he said some but not many died? Here's one of the ones that died.
I mean, it makes sense because the episode does open with Adric specifically saying, "I want to go home." And the second somebody on an adventure says, "I'd like to go home," that's a death sentence. That is the Chekhov's gun of phrases. "I want to go home" means I'm dying today.
I don't want to be on adventures anymore. I think I'm done adventuring. And the Xero goes, "Yeah, you are. You're done adventuring."
I mean, think about it. It also happened with freaking Amy and Rory, too. The second they were like, "Yeah, you know what? We like the simple life thing."
Yeah,
they didn't die.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I mean, they sort of did. Just
eventually,
not,
yeah. Very slowly.
Yeah, they were killed kindly via weeping angel time teleportation. So yeah, this was why I thought this would be a good episode to watch right after that one. I thought they're very. I think they're tonally very similar.
Tonally very similar. I think the Weeping Angels are much smarter than Cybermen. These guys were just dicks.
But Weeping Angels don't have a brilliant voice like David Banks did.
Jeez.
I am the cyber leader.
The entire episode, I did spend it trying to figure out what his particular voice reminded me of.
Mm-hmm.
And it came about in a very kind of like silly way where they were saying that the ship was powered by antimatter, and I went, "Oh, so I was gonna make a bit about how like, oh, they just have like hundreds of nibblers," and then I went, "Hey, wait a second."
The cyber leader does sound a little bit like Nibbler from Futurama. Yeah,
he absolutely does. Editing Zach side by side.
"These space cats seem to be employing some form of hypnotic hypercuteness. Well, two can play at that game, and one of them is me."
"This is excellent news, Doctor. Earth will be destroyed. It will never exist as you have known it."
Wow, I'm so correct. Joke's on me, you didn't put it in.
I put in a different character. I put in two different characters from Futurama
and Ducker.
You put
in Squeaky Voice Teen and Philip J. Fry.
Yeah, I really like this story. There's a lot, but it's not because of the story itself. Like, I think the story itself is actually like a little predictable when you get down to it. Like, they meet the dinosaurs and they're like, "Oh yeah, something collided with Earth, but I don't know what it was. I never gone back to find out."
I did have the realization that the doctor is a dinosaur autistic. You know the type.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the doctor is probably a few different kinds of autistic depending on which iteration he's on.
True.
But specifically, they're like, "I never actually found out what collided with the dinosaurs." And then you hear like, "The spaceship is hurtling towards Earth." And you're like, "Oh, it's going to go back in time and kill the dinosaurs."
Yeah.
But you don't expect part of the meteor to be his companion.
Yeah. Especially since, again, the entirety of the episode is just Adric being kind of mad at the doctor.
Yeah.
And then they make up and he's like, "Nah, I didn't want to go home anyways." To the extent of, "Nah, I just wanted your attention." Which, like, as an attention-seeking whore. I get it.
I think you exactly had turned to me and be like, this boy has stinky boy behavior.
Yeah, I wrote Adric, drama baby and stinky boy.
And also has the same hair as you do.
Shut up, Zach. My hair's awesome.
I didn't say it's not. I'm just saying Adric had the same hair.
I have the hair of a boy in a 70s '70s teen television series. This just happens to not be either of those, but
I'm sure there were some teens from the 70s that really liked the show.
Sure.
But what I really like about it is how many of the scenes are just like really understandable character conflicts.
Yeah.
Like a lot of it is like the doctor winding up in a place like 10 feet from where the Cybermen just killed somebody, and humans are like, well, clearly we don't know you. You must have killed them.
Yeah, it was the specificity of when he gets on the ship with not Angela Lansbury. He's like, no, you can't. Like, there's a bomb in the planet. She's like, I have no reason to trust you.
Yeah, it's one of those.
And then Adric is like, yeah, you should listen. And she's like, I don't have any reason to trust you either.
If I was going to. So you had asked me earlier, like, what episode do I think this is a lot like? I think it's a lot like Midnight. Because in Midnight, there was a part of the premise of the episode was what happens when the doctor's usual like shtick has no one to like the shtick where he like talks people into being on his side to mm-hmm. trusting him because he's the smartest guy in the room. All those things worked against him in that episode. And in this one, they really do make it like nobody ever trusts him mm-hmm. the entire time. Like the only time they ever trust him is by the time they step foot on the TARDIS they're like, oh, this is a thing. Okay.
And understandably so, the first time that they interact, quote unquote, is by him popping up on the radar and showing a double heart signature.
Yeah.
Why on earth would you trust somebody that is already giving you red flags from before you met them?
Yeah, and they immediately call him an alien signature. So even if they don't know who a Time Lord is, they have decided that whatever it is, he's not human.
Yeah.
And I think that's really interesting.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think it makes for a well-paced episode. Like there's a parts in the middle, especially in the third episode, where I feel like it slows down a little bit. Like even I'm kind of like drifting off a little bit just because the pacing slows down a lot there. But for the most part, so much of it is just built around like the doctor trying so hard to be trusted, to make a case, to be listened to. And people do, but like a little too late.
Mm hmm.
And it ultimately adds up to the Doctor and Adric having this falling apart and this coming back together. But then because they've fallen apart, the Adric could not be with the Doctor the entire time and it wound up getting him killed.
Like, that's very upsetting. I think the worst part is that the Doctor uses his good boy star, his good boy coin.
I realize you don't know this. So he mentions that the edges of the badge are lined with gold.
Yeah.
During this era of the show, the Cybermen had a weakness to gold.
Okay, so the reverse vampires.
Yeah,
got
basically.
It.
So they were. That was why he specifically like shoved it in his.
I assumed so. Yeah. And it was just very funny to catch it at the tail end.
Yeah. Oh, but speaking of his badge, you do get a point for the badge.
I do. I am a little bit upset that I guessed hands instead of mouth.
Yeah, you
since I said mouth.
Yeah, and their mouth was.
I'm woefully upset it wasn't ass.
Well, it's funny that you said hands because the original design for the Cybermen way back when, where they were basically, instead of looking more metallic, they had like cloth over their faces.
Yeah.
And so they still had just regular old hands. So there is a part of it where like it, not this iteration of Cybermen, but you did guess something that an earlier iteration.
And I did say
have.
That whatever body part it was going to be was painted.
Yeah. And they were painted, I think, silver.
Yeah.
It's hard to say because a lot of it's in shadow.
It's because you and I were discussing whether or not it was done purposefully. I think it was. I think it gives, particularly since all of these Cybermen are not voiced by the same person.
Yeah.
It does give you as the viewer the opportunity to literally put a quote unquote face with the voice, even though they all look the same. I'm torn on if I like that these Cybermen were not hellbent on transforming everybody into Cybermen.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, too, these ones just kind of felt... These ones felt more human in that they felt way more like Megadix.
Yeah.
Than in the past.
Well, I think also seeing part of their face, even if it's just like the lower jaw, like the lower half of their mouth, reminds you that they're humans.
Yeah.
Or at least... humanoid. Like they may not have been earthling humans, but they were living people who have been converted into these things.
Yeah.
I do wonder if he had that voice before he became a Cyberman and they were like, bring me that one. I like his voice. We shall make him the leader. No, please don't turn me into a Cyberman. I would not be good for it. No.
They did still give them a little bit of a voice mod, which I appreciated.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a...
The sound effects in this story. Yum, yum, yum.
The lasers, the androids we see in the first episode have lasers that sound like their hands are full of bees.
As our live studio audience called them, Cirque du Cyberman.
Cirque du Cyberman,
thank you. Yeah, because they're just wearing their little, like... Tron helmets and bodysuits.
Yeah, they look like did you ever see that presentation where Elon Musk tried to present a robot, quote unquote, but it was just a guy in a suit?
No.
They look so much like that.
No. Zach, no. Zach, please.
Yeah, it's a picture of him. Just a man in a tight lycra suit who was asked to dance around and pretend to be a robot to promote what would definitely be coming in the next few years. A few years ago. These are not serious people. Elon Musk has the same technology as Doctor Who in the 80s did.
Yeah, as the BBC.
I mean, it's really hard to like discuss a lot because a lot of the episode really is just that cycle.
Yeah.
But it plays out so well. And I think, one thing that we hadn't really mentioned a whole lot of was Tegan and Nyssa, who spend most of their time on the TARDIS.
Tegan and Nyssa, I hate to say it, a little forgettable.
Yeah, I understand why.
In this particular story, at least, they're doing jack shit.
Yeah, this episode was clearly much more about the Doctor and Adric, which makes sense because of what happens
overall, to Adric. It makes perfect sense.
I had told you that they were space lesbians. That is because, obviously, one of them is an alien. But also in the audio dramas, and I believe even some of the comics after the fact, after these two actors had left the role, the writers at the Doctor Who Extended Universe decided that Tegan and Nyssa get married. They're a couple.
Cool.
For me, I thought really...
Happy pride.
Happy pride. For me, I really thought that the main draw to you for Nyssa would just be her beautiful velvet.
See, that's the thing, though, is like... And I don't know if it's just because I had this exact same experience in high school, but the specificity of simply curling her hair and pinning it back in some spots and then putting her in this very, it makes her look small because the clothes are very clearly wearing her, looked very high school production of a show that takes place in Victorian era.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it was asynchronous in a way that gave me a little bit of the agita.
Yeah, well, no other character is dressed like her.
Well, no other character is dressed like her, but they're also not leaning into it to the nth degree.
Yeah.
She looked like a modern girl wearing a vintage outfit.
Yeah, I can understand that.
That was what she like, the way that her makeup was styled and her hair was styled, she might as well have just popped out of the thrift store trying on clothes when the doctor swooped her away.
I believe her society was like Victorian inspired.
Okay, but her hair wasn't, sweetie. Nothing else about her was a honey bear.
I don't want to describe it as like a vampire aesthetic, but that's like the closest thing I can get to.
No, it was just not. It was silly looking.
I mean, that was the look of her people. The Trachonites are very like.
You can say gothic. You can say they are Victorian gothic.
Yeah.
However, when the way of styling one's hair is let me curl it and then pin it back. That's what you do on picture day. Like, I don't like being, I don't like being a woman having an issue with what another woman is wearing.
Like, you think,
but
you feel like Mrs. Yearbook quote is probably something like, I'm a quirky girl. No one understands me.
No, her yearbook quote was, be anything you want to be, unless you can be a unicorn, then always be a unicorn. Do you want to know why I said that? Do you want to know why that quote in particular? That was my fucking quote. I could have picked anything, but I chose a quote I found off of Tumblr.
That feels appropriate to a high schooler. You know what I mean? Like someone whose brain hasn't finished cooking. And so the oven they go to like try and bake a little bit longer.
Do you know what
Tumblr.
One of my classmates' quote was? It was from Nacho Libre. And it was like, I am the gatekeeper of my own destiny and I will have my glory day in the hot sun. That is a perfect quote to choose. Why did I go on Tumblr? Why did Nessa, I mean, go on Tumblr to get her yearbook quote?
Why couldn't she remember something really cool? Like, I don't know. Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka going a little nonsense now and then is cherished by the wisest men. That would be fun. That would have been fun.
What was your high school quote?
I don't even remember.
Did you have one?
I did. So here's the thing. We got the form and I forgot I had kept a quote in mind for like 2 years and I forgot it the moment they handed the form to me and I couldn't remember it until it was like too late to turn it in. And so I think I literally Googled yearbook quotes on my phone. And so I think it was like, I would have to fish out my
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Oh, I think it was not all treasure is silver and gold. And that's a quote from Pirates of the Caribbean. What I had wanted it to be. And this feels super, like, honestly, I don't know that it would have been any better because it feels super edgelordy in hindsight, but it was going to be Heath Ledger's Joker saying, do I look like a man with a plan? I'm just a dog chasing cars, which is so like, I'm a cool, edgy 18-year-old.
No, I love that.
I think it's like really dorky in hindsight, but of course I'm doing a Doctor Who podcast. Doctor Who.
Is that what this is?
I had no idea.
I thought we were just recording our normal conversations. While you make me watch a TV show I'm only kind of interested in.
Now, what else is new around our house?
You putting on something on YouTube. Also, you falls asleep not 10 minutes after the video starts.
What I should have done, I guess, was start a podcast for Avatar The Last Airbender, because then we would be way more excited. You would have been way more excited about that.
What makes you think I like Avatar The Last Airbender?
I don't know. How many times have you watched it front to back since I showed it to you?
I don't know. How many tattoos do I have and planning? Beats me. Listen, just because I can relate a whole lot to Zuko... and I wish I had an Uncle Iroh to be my father figure, doesn't mean it's my favorite show. And I just finished my, you know, we don't need to talk about this. This is a Doctor Who podcast.
Called out, baby.
Stop it. But yeah, the space lesbians,
Yeah, they didn't.
There's a lot of unremarkable characters in here. I was, though, very impressed at the fact that the captain and then the second mate, for lack of a better term.
I think it was first officer.
First officer. Thank you. We're both older women.
Yeah. And they carry the actresses in particular carry themselves with like a sense that they've been doing this for a while. Like,
yes.
Yeah. I liked that quite a bit.
Like my favorite parts about this episode truly were the people that could not give two flying fucks about who the doctor is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay.
And I also
wonder how much of that too was like no tea, no shade towards Peter Davidson.
Peter Davidson, yeah.
Peter Davidson just kind of looks like a normal white man. When you go from
Tom Baker with a
7 foot tall, curly haired, circus
piano style teeth.
And then you go to Peter Davidson, the nicest guy in the neighborhood.
The man who brings you a casserole when you move in.
Yeah. His wife is definitely in charge of the PTO. Right? PTA. Thank you. Is in charge of the PTA, but like nobody's mad about it because they have a really bitchin' house where they host parties and there's cornhole and any other games.
And they have a pool sometimes.
They have a pool. It's an above ground pool, but they do treat it with the saline solution, so it's safe for your skin.
Yeah, and all the kids like it, so that all the adults can go inside and work and drink.
But needless to say,
this man had to be sandwiched between the two Bakers. This guy is after Tom Baker and before Colin Baker.
Like, there were some eccentricities that he did have, particularly the celery on his coat, the question marks on his collar. But there is also something to be said of, and I think it might just be me having a very particular set of aesthetics. Mm-hmm. I didn't like how light in color this doctor is, and I don't know if that also is flavoring my opinions on him, where I'm like, oh, I don't trust this man because he's wearing light colors, and I don't like light colors. Like, it's unbalanced. And I suppose it could also go into play that all of his companions, you do have Nyssa wearing this gothic vampiric dress. Tegan was respectable. She looked very clean. Was giving me Frenchie vibes, but I think that had to do more with her hair. And then Adric wearing also something very sensible, like color blocked and a little silly, but everybody is wearing lighter colors except for Nyssa. And there is a part of that that I can't relate to it.
Yeah.
And it's something that's I am metabolizing that idea and going, huh, is this why all of my friends are freaks? No one I trust recreationally wears pastels.
In thinking about it, I almost wonder if the fact that he's like a boring white man is what makes it work, that nobody trusts him when he gets on the bridge.
Perhaps.
Like, is that he's just like a guy that's shown up and has shown up to these two women that run the bridge that know what they're doing. And then this guy just shows up and he's like, actually, I'm the smartest one here.
And
everyone
they go,
listen to me.
Fuck you.
Basically, they're like, shut up.
Get bent, mate. Go back to wherever you came from.
Like, you wonder if I listen to you, not only do I not make money, I actively lose money. Shut up.
Yeah, it was the realism of these two women being like, look, I've been doing this job for a very long time. Get wrecked.
And you could also I can certainly see this interpretation of the doctor influence David Tennant a lot. Because this is David Tennant's doctor. This is the doctor that he as a kid was watching on television. Ironically, it is now also his father-in-law. But that is, I can certainly see quite a bit of it. Because he's got this, like, I'm going to walk into a room, smile at people. They're going to listen to me. Everyone's going to love me.
My white boy powers will absolutely work.
Yeah, I will. You know, one of my companions comes to me with a very serious, consideration for how he's feeling right now, and I'm going to just kind of shrug it off because I'm the doctor and I'm the special one.
The doctor yelling at Adric saying, we're not going into dark space.
Or my favorite one was, he's like, everyone here picks on me, and the doctor's just like, well, everyone gets picked on sometimes.
It literally is Adric and him being like, well, yeah, but like, you don't give me the time. And he's like, dude, we talk all the time about theorems. Well, yeah, you don't talk to me like you talk to the girls. Yeah, that's because they're not as smart as you.
How am I going to learn if you never teach me anything, doctor? I want to learn things.
Literally me being like, yeah, I don't feel like I'm as good a friend. Literally the best friend.
Could not be better friends.
Again, attention-seeking whore who also sacrificed himself on a ship he doesn't care about.
And I do like that the buildup, that they really make it seem like they really draw it out. So you really get the feeling that, like, oh, the doctor's going to go save Adric, because the doctor always does that. The doctor always saves the day. Like, everyone who's like in trouble never really does anything. And then they just go, doctor, look at the screen. And we all look and just boom.
Yeah.
And just in case you thought there was going to be some timey-wimey bullshit where he, like, I circled back to 10 minutes ago and fished him off the cockpit. It hard cuts to silent credits.
To silent credits with his good boy coin being shattered.
Yeah, the little badge that he had, like, rubbed parts of it away into the Cyberman. All you see now are, like, there's, like, two-thirds of it laying on the ground. And it's absolutely silent. And I feel like that is a really impactful decision to make, because they don't do that. they don't not end the show on the show's theme song. To give you an idea, this came out in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do it again until the 13th Doctor's first season.
Jesus Christ.
Until I think that was 2012. It was, I mean, actually, you know, maybe it was even later. Maybe it was like 2014, 2015.
I was going to say, if we're already in.
No, we're in 2012 right now. So that would be, sorry, it's like
14 or 15.
So, yeah. So it, this happened in 1982. They don't, and I don't even mean like they ended on silence. They just don't end the show on the theme song until 2016.
Yeah. So a good 30 years later.
Yeah. 34.
Jeez.
34 years this show never did it again. That's buck wild.
I mean, they want you to take it serious,
right? And so it works.
Yeah,
like even
there is no question of there is no questionable doubt of like, well, surely Adric could come back.
Yeah, no, he is gone.
He is what killed the dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's he is like the Gwen Stacy to the Doctor Spider-Man, where it's just like you don't bring Adric back. Like you can't unring that bell.
Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I was more talking about in the comics. In the comics, they have never truly brought Gwen Stacy. They've never truly undone Gwen Stacy's death. Like they have quite undone a lot of other things in the Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
Gwen Stacy has always died on that bridge. Sometimes they brought in Gwen Stacy's from like other universes. That's where we get like Ghost Spider from Into the Spider-Verse. I think they've sometimes brought her back as a clone, but they've never. She has always been killed on that bridge by Green Goblin. There has never been a moment that has undone that in Peter's history.
Gotcha.
So it's really impactful because it's one of those things that really informs the Doctor and his relationship to his companions. I feel like that also adds a lot of context for when Amy and Rory effectively die, because it's another one of those where it's like the Doctor cannot undo this. The Doctor can save a lot of people, a lot of worlds, a lot of civilizations, but the people that are closest to him, sometimes he just can't.
Mm-hmm.
I think this might be the biggest one besides Amy and Rory, maybe Rose, if we could include that Rose is in a parallel universe.
Mm. I mean, because you and I had this conversation not too long ago about there was nothing stopping the Doctor from going. It's not the entire year of 1939 that's blocked off. It's New York. Surely he could have landed in
like Long Chicago.
Island,
yeah.
Long Island, and then driven there.
Yeah.
Like there are little wiggle room, sort of like the Doctor can still go back. It's not impossible to rent a car.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is 1940, so perhaps. But in cases like that, you can make the argument of like, oh, the Doctor can go back. I think this is one of the first times where you could potentially make a case that he could zip back in time and rescue him off the bridge.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is it's also like he watched the death. So the death can't be that's one of the rules of Doctor Who, is if something happens on screen, it cannot be undone.
Yeah.
They can adjust the rules of it. Like the rule is, if you just see one thing happening, that doesn't necessarily mean that the implications of the one thing are all true.
Yeah.
That's why it's not just that Amy and Rory went back in time. It's that they went back in time and the Doctor's now looking at their tombstone.
Yeah.
So there's nothing he can do to like pretend that he can go back and get them. It is now written, and therefore it is writ. And so in this case, the Doctor saw Adric blow up.
Spoilers.
Like, it's not, at least Amy and Rory got to go back in time and live out their lives. Adric blew up. But next week, we get a new companion for our friend Matt Smith.
Emo Doctor.
He's going to be very sad. We got a Christmas special in the Snowmen. That will be next time. And you're going to see the return of Jenna Coleman from Asylum of the Daleks.
Okay.
I'll let you sit and figure out how that's going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? I'm going to forget about that entirely. Could you imagine how crappy of a Doctor I would be?
You would leave your companions on ships before they blow up.
I would see something and be like, "Ooh, that sucks. Give it 6 months, completely forgot it happened."
Oh, shoot, I left Ted on the ship. Oh, and it blew up.
Yeah. The way that comes in clutch when I'm reading books I know I really like, but also really bad when I'm trying to remember things I learned in college. Might as well do it all over again.
Well, maybe we'll see if you actually remember next week or not. On the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
What's this show called?
Who Is My Doctor?
Ah, indeed.
Who is indeed?
That's not the name of the show, though, Zach.
Who is my doctor?
Who is your doctor?
Who is my doctor?
I'm asking you, who is your doctor?
Right. Who is my doctor?
Oh! You don't know who your doctor is.
No. Again, lovely listeners, sorry this episode is coming to you a few days late. My day job has been shorthanded for a little while now, and the 50 to 60 hour work weeks just caught up with me. Thankfully, a couple days of rest, and we're back, baby! Mostly back. Still a little stressed, but mostly back. If you'd like to help me focus less on my day job and more on this podcast, come on over and support us over on our Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you get episodes of this podcast a week early. So if you're interested in hearing us talk about the snowmen, it can be yours for as little as $1. Special thanks also go out to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, and Travis Aiken. Next week, we get to meet Clara Oswin Oswald, a crazy ice lady, and the Doctor plays with a puppet. So I'll see you on next Tuesday, because Tuesdays are meant to be Whose Days.